Joining us on the line right now, Robert McCartney, a Washington Post senior regional correspondent covering politics and policy in the greater D.C. area. There is no greater regional story than the problems with the Metro of late, and we wanted to have him on to talk about that. Good morning to you, Mr. McCartney.
Hi, Brian. Hi, Mary.
Hi, good morning.
Good to have you. All right, let's start off, first of all, Virginia Governor McAuliffe has decided to hire Ray LaHood, former member of Congress, former Secretary of Transportation, to head up an independent panel. Looks like we're going to have a blue ribbon panel, which always seems to be the thing that politicians do when they have a problem on their hands, to study the metro system and its long-term financial needs. But this was a surprise, apparently, to people at Metro, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was a little bit of a surprise. Governor McAuliffe has been looking for a way to try to get everybody on board in the region around a plan to fix Metro. And he figured that the best way to do it was to bring in an outsider whom everyone respected and who had bipartisan cred. You know, LaHood is a Republican who worked in Barack Obama's administration, so he's been on both sides of the aisle. And he's obviously one of the most knowledgeable transportation people around. So the idea is bring him in, have him do an independent panel, really get to the bottom of whether Metro costs too much, whether the labor costs are too high, whether the board is too inefficient, whether they're doing too many things that they shouldn't be trying to do, and report back by fall and come up with a plan that maybe everybody could get around and try to, you know, solve these problems next year.
Basically. Well, some of the problems have to do with the way it is funded, and they decided they're going to have to raise fares. I got to ask you this question because, I mean, look, first of all, they were plagued with all kinds of problems and some of them dangerous. They decided they would fix the problems, but that created a sort of a diminution of their ability to provide service. That means that people started riding. That means that the income came down, and now they're raising fares and reducing service. How can you not conclude that the metro system is in something of a death spiral right now?
Yeah, well, that's the risk, is that it's in, I mean, just what you described, that they you know, put off maintenance, put off necessary maintenance, and put off necessary investments for many, many years, and now they're trying to catch up, and it's very painful trying to catch up, and the risk, as you say, is that the catching up process will be so damaging in terms of, you know, disrupted service and higher fares, and that people will basically stop riding it, and then things will just get worse in terms of revenue and ridership and the ability to make more investments. Now, they're hoping that now that this crash maintenance program called SafeTrack is over, that ridership will start to come up by the end of the year. That's a very important thing to watch. Will ridership start to recover by the end of this year now that SafeTrack is mostly behind us? And then the other thing to watch is whether or not the region can come together and find some sort of a long-term funding plan for Metro to pay for, more new rail cars and more track repairs and you know, sort of keep the investments flowing to repair and restore the service to what it was in the past.
Is there a way for the region to come together, as you say, but to form an entity as they do in other parts of the country? For instance, in the Northeast, in the New York metropolitan area, they have the Port Authority of New York and New Jersey, and it's a board from both sides. They have X number of people from both states, and they work together to make the decision. So it doesn't have one state working on this problem, another state working on that problem, the D.C. area working on a different problem. It's all done together by one board.
Right. Well, this is exactly the kind of governance issue that LaHood's panel and a lot of other people are studying right now. There's a widespread view that the Metro Board is, with 16 members, is too big, that the people are too focused on sort of their own parochial, individual jurisdictional interests, that some of them are politicians and sort of can't do what's best for Metro as a whole because they're, you know, concerned about just their particular bunch of constituents. So business groups and Congresswoman Comstock from Northern Virginia, who's looking at this, they want a board, you know, where people are required to have certain credentials. They have to have expertise in transit or management or finances. They would be beholden only to Metro and mm-hmm. not to their right. individual jurisdictions. It's sort of a more technocratic, smaller, more technocratic, more streamlined kind of board. But there's a lot of pushback for that from the politicians and the jurisdictions.
Of course.
They say, we're paying for this. We want representation.
Of course.
In the midst of all this, of course, there was a very interesting sort of a side story, and that was Paul Whitfield, the man in charge of Metro right now, talking about escalator etiquette and that the old right. idea of standing on the right and walking on the left apparently is something he doesn't want commuters to do.
We're doing yeah. it wrong.
Well, this is so funny because Whitfield said that, in fact, I mean, everybody knows, you know, if you live in the Washington area, you know, if you're a local, you know, you stand on the right and you walk on the left. And the biggest complaint about tourists who don't know the etiquette is that they stand on the left and block the way. So when you're in a hurry to get to the train, they're standing in the way. Well, Paul Whitfield mentioned that, in fact, that's not what Metro wants. He said that what they want is for people only to stand and not walk at all because it's dangerous to walk on a
moving train. Oh, my.
And wait, a study came out of London said that you move more people that way. This is a worldwide problem, and you actually move more people by having everyone stand in the middle of the
right,
escalator.
Right, yes. Apparently, the Otis Elevator Company, they say you should stand in the middle.
Yeah.
But Whitfield actually said you should stand on both the right and the left to sort of have some balance.
Mm. And you'd have two people. Then
yeah,
you're getting
it wears
two
out
people
the equipment,
up.
Right.
Yeah. Lastly, we want to know if you had a hand in the untimely demise of Old Bay.
No.
Why did you kill the crab?
Other people on the other side of the newsroom, far from me.
Uh-huh.
My hands are clean.
Yeah, uh-huh. So you had nothing to do with the untimely death and torture of said crab, right?
That's right. But if you bring me some crab, I'll eat it gladly.
That is his story, and he's sticking to it.
Some of those who missed it, there was a story in the Washington Post today about a crab that became the pet of the newsroom for a while, but met its untimely end before the end of the day. Well, listen.
Apparently, you just can't keep them in a draw.
That's apparently you can't. Robert McCartney, senior regional correspondent for the Washington Post. Thank you very much. And for the record, not a crab torturer.
Thank you.
I'm so glad we cleared that up.
That clear.